Welcome back, you guys. I appreciate your being here. It's great to see you back. And Doug is back after 2 weeks away. So welcome back to Doug. We have Dr. Cousins with us, and we're going to talk about some of the interesting mentality going on in the world today. I think he's got some incredible things to share with you. So we'll go right to Dr. Cousins and welcome Gabriel. Nice to see you.
Good to see you, Richard. Your voice is sounding good. Strong.
I'm almost back. You might even see me on video eventually.
Okay. So first we'll start with a little bit of dance, because in the midst of kind of worldwide events that are not exactly fun, we don't want to lose hope, and we don't want to forget who we are. And the spiritual joy comes from within, and ultimately doesn't depend on the outside. And the inner still has to interface with the outside, but you still have to build the inner and not let the outside create, in a sense, the ostrich parasitic syndrome. I may explain that when we get done. First, we'll do a little dancing. Okay, let's just take a moment to go into meditation. Here we go. Let's focus on my eyes. Yo. Hey, you slowly come out of meditation. Then, okay, let's get to our topic. And the topic is very subtle, the parasitic mind. Now, what am I talking about? Well, let's look at the word parasite and how parasites work in the world. Now, parasites get in you and make you do things you don't want to do. If you have candida, the candida, a parasite, makes you want to eat sweets, which feeds it, but is not good for you. That's a parasite. Now, the parasitic mind is it kind of takes over your mind to create a sweet craving. Now, sometimes it gets really against what's best for you. So there's a kind of the wood grasshopper, and it dies when it goes into water. But the parasite that infects the wood grasshopper loves water. And so if the parasite's infected by it, it goes into the water and it dies. Parasite lives. So this is called the parasitic mind. It takes over your mind in a way that benefits the parasite, but not you. Okay, now think as we translate that. And what's going on in the world today is a major, in a sense, parasitic mind. And the message is don't let them take away your dignity. Always tell the truth. Now, that's hard in the world that wants to cancel you if you tell the truth, because there's a worldwide effort to create a parasitic mind and make you do things that aren't really good for you. Now, take a guess. How about the bioweapon injection? Gee, you're not doing this. You're not being compassionate to your parents or your grandparents because you're not taking the injection and you're not protecting them. That's a parasitic mind statement. What we know, what the data shows, that there's an increase in mortality in general since the injection of 40%. That's pretty significant statement, isn't it? 40% increase in mortality. That's a parasitic mind. Well, I'm doing it to help my neighbors. I'm doing it to be a good citizen. And okay, so it made you buy a story that brings you to the parasitic mind. Now, here's what's also going on, okay? But I want to just say something else. Is that the progressive world has pushed things so far to the left that none of this is so functional. It's like, you know, we want to be inclusive. So let's sit at the meal and we're going to have, you know, people have steak and this, and we have vegetarians, we have vegans. But how many people are willing to invite a cannibal to the meal? And the question is, are you going to be part of the meal then? Now, I'm making a kind of an analogy, but just think about that for a second. Do you want to sit at a meal where somebody's eating a human being? And let me not be naive. I am perfectly aware that there are a lot of black occult things going on where that is there and it's in Hollywood and so forth. But I'm making a kind of a different statement. I'm not talking about black magic occult at this moment. I'm talking about you want to eat a meal with a cannibal and he's eating a human. Is that work for you? Is that being progressive and inclusive? Or are there limits? Are there limits? So we get caught in our rhetoric, parasitic mind, and we no longer tell the truth, but we even go against our kind of deeper understandings. And the more we tell the truth, the stronger we become. Our society is saying, don't tell the truth. Tell what be acceptable. Tell what doesn't get you, you know, canceled. You know, sit down and share, you know, a meal that a cannibal would be happy eating. Well, no, I'm not so happy eating a cannibal diet. Okay? They ain't going to do that. So the key here is that the parasitic mind takes on behaviors that are dysfunctional for you. Okay? And bring you away from the truth. There's a joke about, you know, a weak-minded person gets drunk on the fumes from the cork. Hold on a second. Of a bottle of wine. And we don't want to be so weak-minded about, with that. That's kind of what we're saying, you know. We don't want to avoid the energy of thinking. We need to think. We do not need to give that up. We do not need a parasitic mind which takes away our thinking abilities and even our desire to think. Because safety is never safety. And that's part of the illusion of politics. Okay? And this becomes, in a sense, I call it the ostrich parasitic syndrome. It's actually not my idea, but I, you know, looking at the big picture. And it pulls things out of balance. And what we're seeing, like in Europe, is people, you know, in response to all the progressive pushing, then the, you know, more the people, politics have moved a little bit more to the right as a way of kind of compensating for that. And it creates kind of it creates an out of balance situation. And that's really what we're talking about, okay? You can think about it, is that the truth is like a lion. Okay, a lion. Okay? It doesn't need us to defend it. Set it free, the truth, and it will defend itself. It will defeat the parasitic mind that the society is trying to create within us so that we can cope, but actually it's destructive to our dignity, to our truth, to our beingness. And this is like the struggle that's going on today. You know, people take different positions, and if they don't like what you're saying, you're a bad person, or you're a bigot, or you're, you know, so that's the parasitic mind. Well, you better shape up, or you're a bigot. It's like, well, but what if I'm telling the truth? That make me a bigot to tell the truth? And this is beginning to be, I'm going to say, rebalancing in our society, where people are beginning to rebel against the pressures to take on the parasitic mind, because it's not healthy. And the truth is like a lion, again, it'll take care of itself, but we have to seem not be afraid. We have to speak the truth. Now, understand that we're talking relative truth. It's truth is as we understand it. The higher truth is there's only God. Now, not everybody believes in God, but for me, the higher truth is there's only God. That's it. Simple statement. And when you move away from that higher truth, as we have done in the United States, you know, is it I think it was the time of Obama when they decided to take one nation under God. I don't know the exact statement about it. Take that out of the Pledge of Allegiance, at least for the, you know, the Democratic Pledge of Allegiance. I don't have all the details correct on that, but I know that was the move, was to take out, you know, one nation under God. Then that begins to have people do things against their truth or their general well-being. That's what we're talking about. And that's the problem with the parasitic mind, that it does things for us that aren't good. As I say, taking the bioweapon injection is one of those things. Really good example. Politically, same thing. Moving so far to a particular position, there's a rebound. Somewhere in the center, we have a relative truth that works for more and more people. So I'll take a second, Richard, if you want to make any comment about it.
Lots of amazing concepts there that are really important. And I think as we were talking before the show, the first thing that struck me was that the labels that are put on this intentionally constructed parasitic mindset, like inclusiveness, are meant psychologically to make you feel like you have to go along with them. Because who would not want to be inclusive, right? They don't bring up the case of the cannibals. They just say, inclusive, you should love everybody. And in the real sense, I completely agree with that. Inclusivity toward everybody, even cannibals in the sense of love, is, I think, very fitting. But loving somebody does not mean you have to eat what they eat if they're a cannibal, or that you have to go to their event, or that you have to invite them to dinner, or, you know, you have to do what they do, or even say what you're supposed to say. You can love everybody, because eventually the idea is that even a cannibal can wake up to something that's even better than cannibalism. They're not necessarily lost indefinitely. Just maybe at the moment they took a wrong turn. So I think the thing about these labels like inclusivity and diversity and all the others that we're supposed to take as our basic belief system now, according to the power structure, they have a true aspect and a false aspect. And inclusivity is good, and inclusivity is suicidal. And you have to understand the difference.
That's exactly the point. Knowing you need to understand the difference, because taken to an extreme, it takes you off the cliff. Right. And that is, you nailed it really nicely. And that's the struggle. How do we know? You know, and how do you get clear with all this? You know,
right, because the authorities are happy to tell you.
Right. And the authorities, unfortunately, are part of the parasitic mind, because they want you to do what will be to their advantage. That's why politics is so interesting in that way. They're going to tell you the story that they want you to believe that will support their goals, not necessarily your goals.
Right. And their goals are coming from a place that we're not supposed to know about.
Right.
In fact, if you suspect it, you're a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, and even after it's proven what we suspect is happening, they still don't want to hear about it. Or it was like with the after the debate, you know, a lot of the commentators and newspapers said, oh, we had no idea that it was that bad. What are you talking about? It's been 3 years. You couldn't tell that? But it was like, oh, we had no idea. And it's like they had created a parasitic mind. Oh, this person's in perfect health. The mind's working really, really well. What is the problem here? You people just, you know, are off base. And then suddenly, oh, I guess it's so obvious that we have to make, you know, we have to agree what's happening is happening.
In other words, they got the orders to change their approach.
Well, they got the orders, but they also, the obvious.
Right, but they, as you said, they knew that before.
Yeah, but it became so blatantly obvious that it would be embarrassing to pretend that wasn't happening. That's kind of what I'm saying. And did they get the orders? Yes, I think there's a shift around that. But at some point, the idea of a newspaper or news services have wandered so far from the truth that their politics makes them look really bad. So it's like, oh, we just didn't understand, you know, we're innocent. That's what I meant by that.
Right.
You know, and it's like, who are you kidding? You know, and that's the waking up process where I'm saying there's a strong movement pushing back against the effort to be parasites on us. Where we're saying, no, well, just look. You can't avoid saying what you say. Oh, a person just had a bad night. No, I don't think so. We've known about this for a few years. Please, you know, we aren't pretending anymore, and we don't buy your parasitic thinking, you know, to impose parasitic thinking on us. So I think there is the people are beginning to rebel against, you know, another word is that the king doesn't have any clothes on. We know the story of, you know, the king's advisors were, you know, got him so believing that, you know, his make-believe clothes, and he didn't have any clothes. And everybody's, whoa, what a beautiful outfit, what a beautiful outfit. This person, went. The little kid says, hey, the king doesn't have any clothes. And everybody goes, oh.
Right, and who said that?
The little kid.
That was a three-year-old, right, in the audience.
Yeah.
Everybody else was in the parasitic mindset.
Correct. And it's like, you're destroying the society. And our job is to stay with the truth, to be the lion. We don't have to work hard on it, just set it free. But so much deception goes on, it's like getting hard to set the lion free. But there is a shift going on, and I feel optimistic. I won't say super optimistic, but I believe people are beginning to see how far it's gone. And that's why the debate was such a good thing. You know, not that it was about Trump. It was really about, oh my God, this is who the president is? This is scary. And so people were able to throw off the parasite. That was the anti-parasitic medicine.
Yeah, it's interesting now that Biden is saying he won't quit.
I don't know what will happen. Biden's wife has said that. Yes, I get that.
Well, today he said that too. He said that he'll never leave.
Okay. We'll see what happens. I have no idea what the game is. All I know is, let's not buy the parasitic mind they're trying to invoke on us. That's making us make really wrong decisions. So we'll see. We'll see. We don't talk a lot about politics, so I'm just talking about the principles. I don't even know what to think, you know, with the games they're playing.
Biden thinks he's in charge, but there are bosses far above Biden that will be deciding what happens.
Yes. And that's what people are aware of, is that Biden is not in a condition to, you know, to lead. you don't have to be a genius to figure that out. And
there is a danger that the military would obey an insane order from Biden, even though he's not really the boss. He can officially say things, and he can activate things that shouldn't be activated.
So, but the people who are behind him can push him to say things. Okay. It's a very serious, this is really, it's a parasitic government, you know, a parasitic mind, and they can do just what you said. They can push something that's really detrimental, which is what parasites do. And they eat up your life force. That's why the term parasitic mind is so accurate.
Parasites aren't very strategically intelligent in the long run. They often kill the host.
Correct. That's what we're facing in the U.S. So there's a thing called the Bible codes, and some very smart people from both U.S. and in Israel have looked at the way that the words are put together and the sequence of the words. And America isn't even in the Bible codes. In other words, America is losing its place as a world leader. And that's what I'm pointing out. And of course, there's this 240-year cycle where countries emerge as strong and then come down. I think what we're seeing is America's like 248 years or something like that, that there's a decline. So Biden is playing out that decline in a very dramatic way. I mean, it's dramatic.
One of the ways that the rulers have ensured that that would happen, Gabriel, is by destroying self-reliance of the country. You know, basically, every country that wants to be sustainable in the real sense needs to be as self-sufficient as possible.
Yes.
When you start taking vital resources from other countries, you're basically a subservient entity to them.
Right.
That's what's been systematically done to the United States, among other things.
That's what our government has systematically done. And, you know, and that's all part of it, because the parasites in the government, you know, people are getting, a kind of immediate feeding off of that. They're making money and making deals. They work with other governments. They get sponsored by the Chinese. This, that, and other thing is happening. So they're, as a parasite, but often the organism gets killed. So that's why it's such a good term.
That's so one of the good things that Trump did when he was in office is make the country's energy self-sufficient.
And
even small countries can be mostly self-sufficient if they're run intelligently. And
if they'll run intelligently,
One of the beautiful things about the slogan America First that's misrepresented by the media as fascist is that every country should have that attitude in their leaders. That country first, Russia first, Israel first, America first, Argentina first, Nigeria first, whatever, because that's their job. Take care of the people in their own country. And then that doesn't mean they're the enemy of the others. They cooperate, but they do it in the interests of the people that they're responsible for.
And see, the whole concept is, you know, fascism is not it's possible outcome of nationalism, but healthy nationalism is not supposed to lead to fascism.
No, there's no reason.
Right.
All thing is to take care of the individual.
And the nation, which nurtures the individual. Right. And out of balance takes you to fascism.
Same principles of taking care of yourself as a person, apply it to taking care of yourself as a country.
Yes, that's exactly the point. And we have to, again, be aware of the parasites in the government who, to their advantage, do certain things that aren't for the advantage of the country or for the people of the country.
In your initial point about the double meaning of these slogans that we're supposed to unthinkingly take on.
Right.
They apply to these organizations that are parasitically destroying the world too, one of the main ones being the United Nations. And yes, slogan there like inclusivity is United Nations, everybody cooperating and being nice and caring about each other, which is all great. But they're in the double meaning. They're saying, give up your sovereignty, give up your independence, and we'll be in charge of it all and take care of you. And that's suicide. And they're working on it.
That's the parasitic mind at the international level, right?
Yeah.
It's a collective suicide. And that's a little bit what we're talking about with the World Health Organization, they having a right to take over every place. I hope that doesn't really get passed. There are many, many, many people against that whole idea. With the COVID thing, we need to have one central agency taking care of the whole thing, but then they are doing things that, again, parasitic mind, taking over nations. It's like, it's, you know, in the interest of international health, these are really serious problems that we're facing. And right now, I'm not sure. I know Trump refused to be, when he was president, to support the World Health. I think Biden has supported it. There's a variety of petitions that are circulating to stand up against this World Health fascism. So, you know, the words can be taken to the extreme that, you know, nationalism, which is a good thing, can be taken to fascism. That's what we're looking at. And then you can see, and what we're seeing a little bit in Europe is that, and maybe a little bit in the US, we'll see, is that the reaction to the extreme leftist positions, which kind of take over, create a parasitic mind, is people are pushing back again to closer to a relative truth, which is a benefit for everyone, rather than using a political belief system to control people. That's what we're looking at. That's the battle.
That's what you were saying about the World Health Organization and all these other authoritarian groups like that. They're saying, we'll take care of you. Just give up all your freedom.
Yeah, and we'll take your life. We'll take your life essence. We'll take you. We will take care of you.
Right, exactly.
And that's
including euthanasia and whatever else you need.
Yeah, and we see that happening even with young people in Canada.
Canada's leading the way for a test case right now.
Yeah, it's a little scary. Taking, you know, young people who may not, who knows when a cure is coming and what's going on. So we have a real battle to not become the parasitic mind. You know, we have the battle is, you know, not to be the ostrich parasite syndrome, where you lose it all.
Right.
And that's what's going on in the world today. And again, I'm pleased that more and more people are standing up. I don't understand all the politics. I don't follow the politics, like what's happening in France, but, you know, or Germany or wherever, what's going on.
A lot of the governments are parliamentary systems. So the most popular candidate can lose because the unpopular ones can make deals, coalitions. And I think that's happening in France at the moment as an example, because Marine Le Pen was set to become the person that most people liked. And she was, I think she was ready to win. And a lot of the, as you say, leftist groups and in the government got together and came out ahead. And that's a problem with that system.
Right. I don't, you know, again, I'm not following France so much, but I get that that's what's going on. I just kind of got it peripherally. That's very serious because, again, the parasitic mind in the moment wins. In the big picture, the nation dies. We clearly see that happening in England. You know, they bring in so many people because we're trying to be good. We're trying to be nice. We're trying to help people. It's, you know, migrants are having trouble all over the world. We'll just take them all in. But then what happens? The migrants aren't, you know, they're not changing their culture. They're not becoming acculturated. They're taking over. That is a game plan.
They're being paid to do that, too.
Yeah. And that's for sure in the U.S. they get lots of money, more than veterans.
Again, it's coming from the United Nations.
Yeah. So, and who is the United Nations? Well,
their goal is to destroy the nations.
The key of the United Nations is founded by Alice Bailey, which is the black magic people. Okay? And so the core seed of the United Nations came from this energy. I don't know if you're aware of that. And so
the Rockefellers were heavily involved too.
This is before the Rockefellers. So I'm saying Alice Bailey, you know, who studied with Aleister Crowley.
On a spiritual level, this is where it's coming from, you're saying.
Yeah, and they were founders of the United Nations, what I'm trying to say. And now we're seeing where that's going. You also see where the United Nations, most of the countries in the United Nations are not democracies or republics, you know. They're a variety of kind of dictatorships and so forth.
So they're engineering public insanity.
Correct. Parasitic mind.
Yeah.
Which is what we're looking at in this whole picture. Very serious.
The inclusivity thing is a good example. I mean, they're trying to get the public so out of touch that when they say, well, there aren't enough airline pilots that are schizophrenic, because schizophrenics represent a certain percentage of the population, and that percentage should be airline pilots.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're schizophrenophobia or something like that.
Yeah, you read that in the news, right? I mean, because I read something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not kidding.
Yeah, mentally disturbed people are being included as in the school for inclusivity for airplane pilots. It's like, well, are you kidding me? And I don't think everybody knows that. I think it was United Airlines who's doing that. I may be wrong. I can't remember. There's so much data coming in. But that did come up, you know, that they're not going to be biased against mentally disturbed people, you know, for being trained as airplane pilots.
Right.
That's just great. And I'm pretty sure it was United Airlines who took that inclusivity picture. This is dangerous.
You also brought up the point, when all these things have double meanings, you know, one is good and the other is insane, how do you tell the difference? Because you can't just look it up in a book, even a spiritual book. There are thousands of questions, and it brings up the necessity of contact with the presence within and prayer and meditation in order to get still and have the parasitic mind calm down and get out of the way.
All right. Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry, Rich.
Oh, well, yeah, just saying that. And, you know, people know about prayer more than they know about meditation. They say, you know, God, please give me the discernment and the clarity to know I mean, if they even know to ask the question. But the spot of meditation and the function of meditation in the whole thing is to allow the quietness so that the voice that's within can finally be heard. And other than that, even things that are written can be misinterpreted.
Right. And that's really the answer. The other part of it is find people who you are mature enough that aren't operating out of a parasitic mind, so you have some external feedback system besides the truth that you get through meditation and prayer. So you're getting, you know, two pieces here. So it kind of has to work for you internally. External feedback, you have to pick people you really trust, and those are aligned. And then it has to also be aligned with historical reality. Well, let's look at societies that didn't do that. Now, what was the difference between the United States Revolution in 1776 and the French Revolution in 1789, where they beheaded a lot of people? What was the difference? The French Revolution did not include God. It was against God. And so the U.S., is, you know, in God we trust, one nation under God, and that has been energetically a foundation. Now we're going to take that away, then U.S. loses its uniqueness in that way. And
even that is really important to get the subtle differences in meaning too, because the founders of the U.S. were wise enough not to require the exact religion that everybody had to follow.
Right. Their idea of separation of religion and state was not to not have religion, not to not have God, but not to, as you just said, to dictate what religion you are to have.
They did not make it a theocracy.
Yeah. And it's, again, being misunderstood. That doesn't mean you take God out of the schools. It means no school is indoctrinating the kids in a particular religion. I mean, obviously, religious schools, well, people will choose to go there, but generally, the public schools, one nation under God. But God's still in school, but they're not telling you how, what religion to follow. And that's a huge difference, and that's why people get confused with church and state. What do you mean? You can't pray on the 50-yard line? No, there's nothing. It didn't say you couldn't pray. It didn't say you can't believe in God. It just said there's not one religion for everybody. That's the separation of church and state. And we can see how that's been perverted. And that's been how the parasitic mind works. You're trying to get God out of the system. Well, then praying, a football coach praying on the 50-yard line, he's not, you know, praying by himself, or, you know, the team prays. Nobody tells you you have to be Catholic or Presbyterian or Jewish or whatever. It's like you're praying as a unity. And not allowing that to happen is a serious parasitic mind situation. So I think we've taken it to a good point where people could say, okay, go inside, get the messages from inside, find people who you trust who are not stuck in the parasitic mind, and look at historical reality. What's the difference between 1776 in France, 1789, where their guillotine is the big, you know, voting machine there. And you have three ways to check whether you're in some level of functional reality versus a parasitic mind. So I bless everybody that were able to understand this force of the parasitic mind, and we've given you the antidotes. And I'm glad and thank Richard for participating here. It was strength. It's good. You need to hear that. So, blessings to everyone. And also thank Doug as well. Richard, if you want to say anything.
I just think your points have been really important today. And you have to go inside. There's no two ways about it, because otherwise the parasitic mind is very subtle. And you can't always just trust what society says to do. You can't even trust what things have been done for thousands of years, because as an example, this could go on for a long time. I just want to make a quick point that in your work, Gabriel, you've saved so many people's lives with me, with your medical help, not just diabetes, but all kinds of health conditions. And one of the basic principles that you've used to save people from degenerative disease and illness is how to use raw food, living food. And if you went by what's historically been done, people have been cooking food for longer than we even know, maybe hundreds of thousands of years.
And at least 10,000 years, yeah.
Yeah, but I would say probably 200,000, although that's a long discussion. But the point is that just because something has been done and revered forever doesn't mean that it's not insane. So there's no way to avoid the necessity of going inside.
Yeah, we have. That's why we have three checkpoints historically, which, you know, could be invalid, like we said with the live food versus the cooked. And we have going inside, you know, meditating, prayer, and then your trusted kind of feedback loop.
Right.
And you need all three to be in alignment to see, to make clear that you're not stuck in the parasitic mind subtly or overtly.
Okay. Well, sorry for starting a new branch of discussion when we're over time.
No, it's perfect. Perfect. No. Because we need to have that perspective of how do you get clear?
That's the question.
Yeah. And then, you know, where we've looked at here is we have to have several feedback systems. They all have to align.
Yeah, exactly. Parasitic mindset doesn't come with a warning label. Be careful. This is a parasitic mindset. It comes with a label. This is good for you. This will take care of you. This will make your life much better. This is what everybody thinks you should do.
And this is being compassionate, of course.
Exactly. It makes you a valid person. So anyway, all right.
Well, great.
We can wrap it up. Did you want to say anything else?
No, we brought up false compassion, and that is one of the big parasitic minds that are going on today. Well, we need more people. They need to come in, and then, you know, incidentally, they may all vote Democratic, or incidentally, this is going to happen, or incidentally, there are all kinds of things going on. And we have to be very careful about false compassion, which has been used as a definite parasitic weapon.
Exactly. And I think one more quick point that maybe we could talk more about next time if we want to. You said, what about the case of the engineered bioweapon being injected into people and being promoted as something that would save your life and save your family and make you a compassionate person, to not be killing your grandparents by, you know, becoming, I guess I can say it, unvaccinated, which makes you a horrible person. And I would say they're going to try that again, it looks like. There's a big meeting in October where they're going over the strategy for how to promote the fear of bird flu, and not just as a scourge against humanity, but a justification to wipe out the food supply, because nothing will be safe to eat because everything's contaminated with bird flu. And the touchstone with that, other than the sanity that you mentioned with the three checkpoints, is that anything that has to be diagnosed with any version of a PCR procedure, falsely called a PCR test, is a lie and a fake, and don't believe it.
Yeah, and a lot of people are coming out and saying that, which is really good.
It's always been obvious, you know, Kerry Mullis, the inventor of the PCR procedure, which is basically just like a laboratory high-tech magnifying glass that shows tiny amounts of things. It doesn't diagnose anything. He died right before COVID started.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. A lot of people think he was taken out because he was inconvenient.
Okay. So
don't believe in bird flu.
So don't get caught in the parasitic mind. It's the parasitic mind always works against you. It takes away your life force and it weakens you. Peace be with you. Aho.
Thank you, Gabriel. Thanks for being here, you guys. And I look forward to fully being back in the near future, God willing. And remember that Gabriel's programs are ongoing at drcousins.com, treeoflife.mn.co, both of those, and that we're still carrying on the work of Planetary Healing Club at planetaryhealingclub.com. And so far, we've been able to keep going. So all kinds of important work remains to be done in the future, and you're a major part of it. In fact, in my opinion, you're the main part of it, and the work you do in yourself has vast implications for the world. So thanks for being here.
Yeah, and also we are doing a world peace meditation.
Yes.
Sunday, 6:30 Israel time. I think we have a little thing. There it goes. Yeah. 11:30 Eastern time every Sunday, because we are creating a mindset for healing the world.
Exactly. And it's a taste of it on Sundays that the point is to carry with you and live in it the rest of the time. So anyway, you're appreciated. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you next time.